Hello, this is Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. We'll begin today's readings with a few articles from the News Gazette. The first is called "Danville Lutheran School: Students Are Gonna Flip for What's in Store." When Danville Lutheran School students return to the classroom next Wednesday, they may not recognize it. That's because the school's two campuses, Trinity at 824 East Main Street and Emmanuel at 1930 North Bowman Avenue, underwent a major reorganization and renovations this summer, aimed at creating more modern, inviting, user-friendly, and age-appropriate learning environments. It's as if new life has been breathed into them, School Secretary Lisa Thompson said of the buildings, which were renovated over the summer break. It basically has made our outside match our inside, so to speak. It needed to happen so that people don't think we were just doing the same thing we've always done. The school has held three open houses, but Wright and Thompson said private tours are available and can be arranged by calling 217-442-5036. Supported by the Trinity and Emmanuel Lutheran congregations, the school serves pre-K through 8th grade students. We want to welcome our students into a Christ-centered learning environment, equip them with the skills to be lifelong learners and successful citizens, and inspire them to serve their community, Board Secretary Susan DeMoss said of the school's mission. Until this year, K through 4 classrooms were located at the Trinity campus, while grades 5 through 8 were at the Emmanuel campus. When the school added a pre-K program for 3 and 4-year-olds, it was put at the Emmanuel campus, which is all one level and had the space. Under the redesigned 2017 project, the K through 2 and 5 through 8 programs switched buildings. The Emmanuel campus now houses pre-K and is called the Early Learning Center, while the Trinity campus houses 3rd through 8th grade and is known as the Advanced Learning Center. "We have wanted to go in this direction for a while," said Kim Wright, who is in her second year as principal and 12th year as a teacher for upper grade students. "It makes more sense to have all of the younger students together," Wright said, adding the children and their families can get to know and build relationships with the teachers they will have in the next few years, and the teachers will also be closer in proximity to each other to talk about curriculum and students. "We've talked about flipping the grades before," she continued. "We just felt we didn't have the time to make it happen, and the idea of moving was overwhelming. That is probably what kept us from doing it earlier." Wright proposed the reorganization and renovations to the school board back in January and then to both congregations. With their approval, officials began raising funds and planning for the changes. The school was awarded two major grants, one from the Vermilion Healthcare Foundation for improvements to the Early Learning Center and one from the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation to purchase additional Chromebooks for the Advanced Learning Center. The school piloted a one-to-one technology program for 6th through 8th grade students last year. It will be able to expand that to the 3rd through 5th graders this year. And K through 2 students will have new ASUS Chromebook Flip Learning Centers, Wright said. DeMoss said the school also held an auction, which raised $17,000 in donations to purchase everything from paint and new furniture to technology and learning materials. While some of the work was contracted, DeMoss said many volunteers, including school staff, parents, and members of both congregations, helped out on various projects, including one of the biggest, the move. "They helped us load trailers and trucks with furniture, desks, books, microscopes," she said. "It was incredible. The fact that we did it in 2 hours was even more incredible. And I have to say, I have an amazing staff," Wright added. When the school year ended, they started packing up their classrooms, then began setting up their new rooms after their boxes were delivered. They basically gave us their summer break to make it happen. Some of the larger renovations called for turning the Trinity campus basement into new learning spaces. A work crew turned unused space into a biochem lab and converted a pool and ping pong room used by the church youth group into an art studio with white workstations where students can store their supplies. "I think the kids will feel more like scientists," Wright said, standing in the bright room furnished with new tables and wobble chairs that allow students to move around while they work. Our next article from the News Gazette is an update from the village of Westville: Parks Cannons to be Restored. Mayor Mike Weiss said members of the American Legion and village employees would soon begin scraping and painting the World War II cannons at the entrance to Zamberletti Park. Weiss told village board members he was reminded recently that Westville had signed an agreement in 2011 to maintain the cannons. In other news, Weiss appointed Gary Delhay as a new trustee. He fills the seat vacated last month by Darren Van Duen, who resigned for personal reasons. Delhay will fill the position until the April 2019 election. And an update from Georgetown, city hung up on costs for firms. The Georgetown City Council heard about two proposals for codifying the city's ordinances from American Legal of Cincinnati, $13,000, and one Municode of Tallahassee, Florida, $6,000. The city has used Municode in the past. The work involves collecting ordinances the city has passed, reviewing them for any outdated or redundant material, and publishing them in book form or online. A vote was put off until a source of funds to pay for the process is identified. There are not sufficient funds in this year's budget. And next, Heart for Life ride and fundraiser set for Saturday. Heart for Life, a Danville area charitable organization started by Michael, known as WAP, and Garliola, and his wife, Nancy, will host its WAP Memorial Ride and fundraiser on Saturday, with kickstands up at 11 a.m. The Heart for Life benefit will run from 3 to 10 p.m. Saturday at the Knights of Columbus Hall, located at 310 Bryan Avenue. The sole purpose of Heart for Life is to help families in the Danville area, mainly those having financial difficulties brought on by expenses related to having a sick or injured child, using the proceeds from the annual benefit and ride. Mr. Ingarliola, who died in 2014, was an avid Harley-Davidson rider. Our next article, also in the News Gazette, is called Two-Time State Hog Calling Champion, Who'd Have Thought? For the second consecutive year, Andrew Matheny captured the State Hog Calling Championship. And for the second time, his newfound talent may lead the 19-year-old from the Illinois State Fair to a Hollywood studio. "I'm a small kid from Cornfield, Illinois. Who would have ever thought I'd end up in Hollywood?" Matheny said after winning his second title at the State Fair in Springfield and about 4 months after his first-ever television appearance on VH1. Matheny, a 2016 Georgetown Ridge Farm graduate, owes his possibly budding TV guest career to Google. About a month after winning his first hog-calling title at last year's state fair, Matheny got a Facebook message from a producer who Googled hog-callers. He was looking for someone to do a hog-call on the VH1 show, Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party, and saw a video of Matheny's hog-call, among others. The producer liked that Matheny was young. That message led to a phone conversation where the producer told Matheny about the new cooking show starring rapper Snoop Dogg and TV personality Martha Stewart. For a hog roasting episode, producers wanted to fly Matheny to their Paramount studios for taping. "We want someone to make the hog noises," Matheny recalls the producer telling him over the phone. It didn't take him long to answer. "Well, of course I would," said Matheny, who didn't grow up on a hog farm. Rather, it was just horsing around with friends and at school where Matheny started making silly noises, including a hog squeal. It was a teacher who told him about the hog calling contest at the state fair last summer, and on a whim, Matheny entered. About a month later, he took his first airplane ride from Indianapolis to Los Angeles on September 11th with his mom, Jamie Matheny, who didn't think her 18-year-old son should navigate Hollywood on his own, according to Matheny. He worked a full 8-hour day, including 3 hours of taping for the 30-minute show that aired in March on VH1. He even got paid for his appearance, he said. Matheny opened the live show with his hog call and performed it 2 more times during taping, but was only in the beginning when the show aired. "I got cut out of the other 2 parts," Matheny said, recalling that Snoop Dogg thought he was going to sing a song when he first came on the set and sat on a stool next to the show's guitar player. "When I did the hog call, it took him, Snoop Dogg, by surprise. He told me to do it again. He just loved it." Matheny said both stars were nice, but he liked Snoop Dogg a lot more than Stewart. "They're celebrities. They're their own breed of people," said Matheny, who returned to the state fair last weekend to defend his title against 2 other competitors, a previous longtime champion and a newcomer. Although he was less nervous this year and developed two more hog calls, a hog caught in a fence and hogs fighting, in addition to his original, Matheny said he was still shocked when he won again this year. "I think it went rather well. The crowd liked it," said Matheny, who has put thought into his delivery, ensuring he doesn't hold a microphone too close or too far, speaking into it first to get the right range, and then pausing after each call to let the crowd react. They clapped after every single one of them. Matheny, who is a semester away from his associate's degree in criminal justice at Danville Area Community College and may continue on for his bachelor's degree, said for him, the hog calling competition is a lot of fun, and he will keep doing it. But if a few more paid Hollywood television appearances come his way, he sure wouldn't mind. The same producer is in contact with him again after defending his title, and another appearance on a different production is very possible, Matheny said. It's been interesting. I've really enjoyed it. I never thought this would happen, but here I am trying to be a little famous, he said. And our next article, still from the News Gazette, is called Federal Government Employees. Union Rallies Focus Vets Low Staffing. A federal government employee union plans to hold a rally in Danville this afternoon to raise awareness of what it calls dangerously low staffing levels for veterans health care. The American Federation of Government Employees, Local 1963, will gather with Veteran Affairs employees and members of the public from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the southwest corner of North Vermilion and East Main Streets, according to the union. "Our nation's veterans deserve access to the highest quality care," said an AFGE statement, "but with more than 49,000 vacancies nationwide at the VA, they are being deprived of the health care they've earned and prefer. Current staffing levels are creating risks to patient safety and a hazardous work environment to the working people at the VA. The VA operates one of the largest health systems in the nation, with 168 medical centers and more than 1,000 outpatient facilities, according to a U.S. Government Accountability Office report in March. The Danville-based VA Ileana Healthcare System provides services to more than 150,000 veterans living in the surrounding 34 county areas of Illinois and Indiana. AFGE Local 1963 President Vicki Dodge said understaffing is a chronic problem at the VA Ileana Healthcare System's main campus. "As far as us in Danville, we have 130 vacant positions that have been approved to be filled," she said. "We have 50 vacancies that may have somebody in them but will not be backfilled due to attrition or may not have anyone in them, and 10 jobs are posted as of now." With 1,200 employees in the Ileana system, she said, 130 vacancies doesn't sound that bad. But when you've got 130 vacancies in the right area, it can be very bad, she said. Enrollment in the VA healthcare system nationally grew significantly in the decade between 2006 and 2016, and the system's total budget resources more than doubled, from $37.8 billion in fiscal 2006 to $91.2 billion last year, the GAO said. In 2015, the GAO added VA healthcare to a list of government operations considered to be high risk over concerns about the VA's ability to provide timely and quality care. Earlier this year, the GAO said limited progress had been made, but to address the high risk designation, three areas of serious underlying weaknesses in the VA healthcare system remained to be addressed. Now we'll turn to the commercial news for our next article, which is called A Renewed Vision, Church Celebrates 100th, Looks Ahead. A vision that began 100 years ago continues at the newly named Christ Way Church, formerly named Danville United Church of Christ. "The message is the same, but it's produced in a different package," said Pastor Doug Knapp, who's also associate pastor at Life Church. "This is a great church. A lot of people put time and effort into it 100 years ago. That vision continues." In celebration of its centennial, the non-denominational church at Buchanan and Main Streets will have a concert on August 26th and a special service on August 27th, followed by a meal. Knapp said he was asked to help the church about a year ago when the pastor left. "Membership was in the high teens," he said, "and now the average is about 40. The church was nearly ready to close, but it's getting its second wind. It's an awesome thing," Knapp said. "People are rejuvenating it. There's a renewed vision for our city and community. The congregation was formed in July 1884 as the German Evangelical Lutheran United St. John's Church. In November 1916, St. John's Evangelical Church dedicated the current church building and a parsonage, now used as a church meeting room and reception area. In 1966, the Danville United Church of Christ was formed. Some members of the community still refer to the building as St. John's. The church underwent the Christ Way name change in 2016. Several longtime members sum up why they like being part of Christ Way. "It's home. It will always be home to me," said Linda Stanton, 70, a member all of her life. "It's the only church I want to go to." Stanton and her husband, Richard, were married in the church, and all of the children grew up in the church. "Everybody feels like family," she said. "We welcome everyone who comes in." Judy Meharry, former secretary for 32 years, echoed that thought, saying, "It's like a family. Any of these people would come to my aid," said Eileen Twelp Smith, a member for more than 60 years. She likes to sit in the church with her memories, adding, "It has so much beauty for me." Patricia Walters, a 50-year member, said, "I tell people, if you come, you'll like us. We're friendly and have a lot in common with each other." Many of the longtime members say they were baptized as children in the church. Many were married in its sanctuary, and their children became members. Don and Anne Nee were married in the church 59 years ago, and all of their children and grandchildren were baptized there. Don's father was a Sunday school superintendent for 25 years, and Don was baptized and confirmed there. "There's not a prettier church in Danville," Don said. He has a lot of fond memories of growing up in the church. He never missed a Sunday school class and still has all of his attendance pins. Mary House, a financial secretary for 5 years, was born into the church and always attended. "I have no desire to move on," she said. She's been active in the Sunday school, choir, and church council. Linda Baerbaum, a member for 63 years, recalled that the choir was outstanding at one time and used to do concerts with other churches. The church is proud of its connection to the famous musical Gruber family. Otis Gruber, great-grandson of Franz Xaver Gruber, who composed the melody for Silent Night in 1818, lived in Danville until 1956, when he moved to Quincy. While in Danville, Gruber directed church choirs at First Baptist, First Presbyterian, and then at St. John's Evangelical and Reformed Church, now Christ Way. The younger Gruber composed sacred music that is part of contemporary hymn books across the country. Every year, the church has candlelight Christmas Eve services, where Silent Night is sung. The church also has an active women's fellowship, which is involved in several community activities. Among its projects are Wreaths Across America, collecting school supplies and coats for kids, and making its annual chicken and noodles meal, which many people in the community look forward to on the first Wednesday of November. In addition, the group works with a new Dayspring Women's and Children's Shelter and the Women's Care Clinic. Knapp is optimistic about the church's future, noting that masonry work is being done in the front and parts of the basement have been redone. "When you're thinking about staying, you start working on it," Knapp said. He added, "This church is being maintained and there are good people here. I'm happy to see everything is going the way it is. More people are coming to services and everyone is welcomed," he said. "Although the church has struggled in the past," Smith said, "we won't give up." For your information, Christway Church at Main and Buchanan Streets will celebrate the 100th anniversary of being at that site with a concert and special services later this month. Kira Sherbakova, a Christian singer and songwriter, will give a concert at 6 p.m. Saturday, August 26th. A free will offering will be taken. A special service will be at 10:30 a.m. Sunday, August 27th, followed by a carry-in luncheon in the downstairs reception area. Everyone is invited. And now it is time to read our area obituaries, and we'll begin with those for Vermilion County residents that are listed in the News Gazette. Jacqueline Easley, 77, of Danville, died at 6:25 p.m. Monday, August 14th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams Street in Danville. Dwight A. Lucas, Sr., 59, of Danville, died at 5:08 p.m. Friday, August 11th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon Friday at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville, with Pastor Thomas W. Miller officiating. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams Street in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Robert H., known as Butch Porter, Jr., 71, of Danville, was born on January 2, 1946, the son of Robert, known as Bob, Sr., and Evelyn Epperson Porter. Butch drowned after capsizing a small boat on the pond on his property on August 9, 2017. A visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, August 19th, at Sunset's Oakwood Chapel at 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood. Services will be held at noon, Saturday. Private burial will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Now we'll turn to the commercial news for additional obituaries. Jesse Allen Snow, 28, of Oakwood, passed away at 2:52 a.m. Tuesday, August 15th, at his home in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville has been entrusted with Jesse's arrangements. Angela Lynn Clark, maiden name Stevens, passed from this earth and was welcomed into heaven on August 15th, 2017. At this time, no funeral arrangements were listed with the obituary. Bruce Woodrow Oliver passed away at 6:12 a.m. Monday, August 14th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A visitation for Bruce will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Thursday, August 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with a family and friend sharing time at 3 p.m. Dorothy Grace Richardson, 88, of rural Covington, Indiana, died unexpectedly Saturday, August 12th. She was born in 1928 in Danville, Illinois, the daughter of George and Mabel Emily Waite. A visitation will be held today from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, August 17th, at Jesse United Methodist Church, with Reverend Jason Dean officiating. Burial will be in Hopewell Cemetery. Memorials are requested to Jesse United Methodist Church. And now we'll carry on with additional local news. In the commercial news, we have an article called Strip Mall Planned for Tilton. Construction has started on a new strip mall in Tilton that will bring a Dollar Tree and a small chain restaurant, and another strip mall in Danville will see a Sports Clips Haircuts. Developer Jim Wood is involved with both projects. The strip mall in Tilton will be on the west side of Route 1 and Georgetown Road at 16th Street. Dollar Tree is expected to open in February or March 2018. A restaurant also is expected to come to the site, but it hasn't been signed yet. There also will be space for one more business, according to Wood. That area will see a new street and traffic signal at Route 1. Wood said the hope is to get most of the construction on the strip mall completed this year. Ramp Road is planned with a new traffic signal between 14th and 16th Streets. It would connect to First Avenue and Lane Street on both sides of Route 1. The Lane Street extension will be behind the already existing Dollar General store, and First Avenue will be extended between 14th and 16th Streets. The plan for Route 1 is to create three lanes of traffic, both north and south, with a center turning lane for Ramp Road. It would eliminate the entrance and exit ramps to 14th Street and create safer entrance and exit to the Interstate 74 ramps, officials have said. The project is estimated to cost about $5 million. Wood said work also has started on the fixtures inside the shop next to the Verizon store that moved on North Vermilion Street in Danville. Russell Cellular didn't add a new location, but relocated its North Vermilion Street store. Russell Cellular is based out of Battlefield, Missouri, and has been a Verizon retailer for the latest wireless phones, accessories, and services since 1993. The two-tenant strip shopping center is north of Monocle's Pizza. Sport Clips is a national chain haircuts business geared toward boys and men, Wood said. We're hoping it will be open by October, he said. He said there could be a grand opening tied with a Verizon store. Sport Clips Haircuts is headquartered in Georgetown, Texas. It was established in 1993 and began franchising in 1995. The sports-themed haircutting franchise specializes in haircuts for men and boys. There are more than 1,600 Sport Clips stores open in the U.S. and Canada. Wood said in other developments he's working on, he's still trying to get another restaurant to come to town. Our next article is back in the News Gazette and is called Rediscover Danville, Learn and Lead. April Jones loved preschool when she was a little girl in Hoopston. She loved playing school with all the other kids on her block. In fact, when she was in grade school, she'd go down to the dumpsters at Honeywell School at the end of the school year and scavenge school supplies teachers had thrown away to use for projects she led for the neighborhood children all summer. It was her dream to be a preschool teacher and even start her own preschool someday, and that is what she did. April was a teacher's aide, a classroom teacher and director of a preschool in the Hoopston area, but she was always planning for the day she would have her own school. April researched all aspects of her business and was referred to the Illinois SBDC at DAC to review her business plan by Mayor Krusenberry. There was not a question asked that she hadn't thoroughly researched. She understood not only the licensing and programming requirements, she knew the building requirements and had gone door to door to discuss the plan with her neighbors and gain their support. She knew her startup costs and was prepared to self-fund her project. She knew her operating costs and her pricing structure. She understood how to market her business and already had a waiting list for the first-year students. The city council was very impressed with her preparation and approved her project. Starting any new business is hard and often takes longer than expected. April got approval for her project in late summer. 26 days after groundbreaking, her building was complete, and by October she had opened her doors to her first class in her new preschool, Learn and Lead Academy, at 409 West Washington Street in Hoopston. Her goal is to begin her students on a path of learning that will prepare them to be leaders in their communities in the future. Learn and Lead Academy offers morning or afternoon classes on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday schedule for 3 to 6-year-olds. Students have daily lessons learning about the calendar, weather, shapes, numbers, and letters. April brings learning to life by taking field trips to the library, the post office, or the grocery store, and even just walks around the neighborhood looking for signs of spring and examples of colors, shapes, and numbers. Artwork lines the walls, turning traced cutouts of little hands into garden vegetables. There are Christmas parties and Halloween parties, and every spring her graduating class walks across the stage at Hoopston High School in a little cap and gown as they move on to the next stage of their education. Learn and Lead Academy has 2 part-time employees. April is living her dream and suggests to those who might want to start a preschool, be sure it's in your heart that you are in this for the children, not the money. April Jones of Learn and Lead Academy in Hoopston is the winner of the Illinois SBDC at DAC 2017 Entrepreneur of the Year Award. This award recognizes Vermilion County small business stars annually. Nominations are encouraged from the community and can be submitted at any time. This has been Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, August 16th. Let's not rush ahead. I look forward to reading with you again next week.